Amen. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Let me tell you, there's nothing too hard that God cannot solve. Amen. Keep your faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The great I Am came 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Emmanuel, God with us, came 2,000 years ago in a flesh form. What a God we serve. And you might say, well, why did he come in a flesh form? Because there was no other way to reconcile man back to God but having the pure blood of a Savior, of a man that was no sin in him at all. What a God we serve. So we do want to wish you, Jelaine and I, a very Merry Christmas. I know that is coming up Friday. And so we pray the blessings of God upon your heart and upon your life. I pray that as you gather with family and friends and whatever else, that you will lift up the name of Jesus. You will lift up that it's his birthday and no one else's, that our Savior was born and lived upon the earth in flesh form for 33 and a half years till he gave his life for us. No one took his life. He gave his life as a ransom for us. So Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I hope everyone has a great day. I hope you get everything you want and more. Whatever. I hope you don't eat too much. If you start to eat too much, give me a call. And I'll say, don't worry about it. Once a year is Christmas. Go ahead. Eat another bowl of gumbo. Go ahead. Eat another brownie. Oh, go ahead. Eat another cookie. Go ahead. No. But the blessings of God that we celebrate him and what he has done for us. I want you to turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. Thank you for being submissive to the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God is so evident in this place, I tell you. Don't ever think that we are going to be left out of the great revival coming to the earth. Don't think it. Don't think it. Don't think it. We won't know where to put people. But that's okay. God will give us a plan no matter what. Who knows? We might have to build another building. Add on. We'll do whatever we need to do. But we will house the children of the living God in a place where God can move. In a place where the people are submissive to God, in a place where your pastors are submissive to God and not arrogant and boastful, but love God with, now, hey, look, I didn't say perfect, okay? No one's perfect, but we strive to do the things that God wants and to love people. You know, the great verse, John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The first part, for God so loved the world. God just didn't send Jesus just to send him. There was a mission that he had to accomplish. And if he messed up in any way, he could not be used. Can you imagine? For 33 and a half years, he had to do everything perfect. But we might say, well, you know, Pastor, that's hard for me to go 33 days, you know. Well, it's 33 minutes. Okay. But you know what? You have to always remember that he didn't have the sin nature that came from Adam and Eve. He didn't have that in him. So he didn't have a tendency to want to go towards sin like we do. You know what I'm saying? That tendency that to swerve towards that. That's why God had to come and redeem us. And he lives now in us. And he can make that seed of wanting to do evil dormant on the inside of it. He can't take it away because it's there. But he can make it dormant, that it does not strive or thrive in us. But here we see God, for so loved the world. You know, people are looking for somebody to love them. You know, I know nowadays, you know, with all this COVID stuff going on, you know, people are scared to even shake hands. People are scared to, you know, I on the job, I don't wear a mask. I don't. I just, it's hard for me to breathe and I can't do it going. But I've had people walk to the side. And I said, oh, Lord, I must have leprosy. But you know, does that make you feel horrible? Like, and you just want to turn and you want to tell them something. Like, who do you think you are? And then tell them a few things about themselves. Now, there's nothing wrong. You know, hey, look, you know, now when you go to the store, if it's mandated, I do put it on, you know, because you have to walk in and you got to, you know, I'm not trying to cause any problems. But you see, that's how things go sometimes. There's a plague there. But, you know, Mary was a young girl. And we know the story of how it says the Spirit of God came upon Mary. They say she was probably 14, 15, maybe 16 years of age. So she was very young. And it says that the Spirit of God chose her, number one. And let me tell you, the Spirit of God can choose who he wants. He can choose somebody young. He can choose somebody middle-aged. And he can choose somebody old in the physical. Because with God, there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. There's always things to do for the kingdom of God to get the job done before he comes. And here we see Mary, 15, let's say just 15. That's young. And the Spirit, here she is doing her daily chores of whatever she was doing. And the Spirit of the angel comes and says, Mary, you have been chosen. And the Spirit of God comes upon her. And she becomes pregnant. You know, back then and even years ago around here, that would happen out of wedlock. Let me tell you, that was not a good thing. And you know, here she was betrothed to Joseph. That means betrothed back then, it's not kind of like engagement here. But when you were betrothed back then, you were actually married. You didn't live in the same house yet. You know, you didn't have the rings and all. But they considered you as a married couple. So, God knew that as the Spirit of God came upon Mary and she became pregnant, that would cause a lot of problems for Mary. But God had chose her. Just because God chooses you and I to do whatever he wants to do in this world for the kingdom of God does not mean it will be easy. Huh? It's hard to pray some people into the kingdom of God. They just keep hitting their heads against the wall and you keep saying, Lord, do something. And you keep praying for them. But it wasn't easy for Mary. But she bowed herself, yielded herself, and said, Lord, your will be done. People, we need to get to the place where the church says, Lord, your will be done. Instead of the body of Christ saying, Father, my will be done, because I know what to do. And you may not know as much as I know. You might say, does that really happen? Well, it happens by actions. When people do what they want to do. When people go where they want to go. And not doing and being where God wants them to be. When you're not at the church where God has placed you to be, you are sinning. Listen to me. You are out of God's will, and you're sinning against God. And let me tell you, that will open you up to things that you don't want to happen to you. You need to be where God wants you to be, because that's where the blessings, the protection of God, and the power of God is. And there are many great churches around this place. Be where God wants you to be, and the blessings and the anointing and the power of God will be there with you. And here we see Mary just taking it on, saying, okay, Lord. And we know she went away and came back. And when she came back, Joseph saw. Because it was almost time, almost getting there. And Joseph had a choice. Actually, he could divorce her and just divorce, and he could have her stoned, killed in any way that he, but that's usually what they did. They stoned. That's what they would do. And if it wasn't for the Lord, that may have happened. Let me tell you this. When you step out by faith to do the things that God wants you to do, God will take care of the rest.
Yes. Yes.
God will take care of the future.
Yes, he will.
Let me tell you. As a church, and I know you, and I've told you this before, and I know you, we tithe as a church. And God meets all the needs of the house of the church, from the what's needed to finish this thing to everything. God will meet the need, because his promises are true and right no matter what. So keep doing what God says. Keep giving the way God says. And let me tell you, his word is true, and it will come back unto you, because his promises are yes and amen. And they are right. And it says that Joseph had a dream. And I'm trying to, because I know time-wise we have to, had a dream. And the Lord told him, look, no, don't do what you want to do. And he got up a different man that morning. When we have an encounter with God, we wake up a different man or a different woman with God, huh? Hey, some things hurt. Huh? Some things hurt. You know how some things just hurt to the inner core of your being, and you don't know what to do? Let me tell you, this is what you do. You get with God. And you say, Lord, I don't understand, but I put my faith in you. And you just cry it out. And you wake up a different man or a different woman by the power of Almighty God. And Joseph woke up and he said, where's my wife and my son? And God had to speak to him to call him Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. And he took Mary. They became husband and wife. Her parents were excited because her life was in his hands, Joseph's hands. But really her life was in God's hands. Not so much in the hands of Joseph or any man. Let me tell you this. Our lives are in the hands of our God. And there's no thing that can come against us that if God doesn't allow, it can't happen. And so we know, as we're going around the tree over and over again, around that tree, God is in control. God is in control. Let me say, we need to start saying, God is in control. God is in control. God is in control. No matter what's happening, no matter what's going on today or tomorrow or next year, God is still in control. He's in control of our lives. He's in control of our families' lives. He's in control of this church. He's in control of this area, because we've given it unto God. And when you give it unto God, he takes it and he says, let me do what I want to do. A great revival is going to hit this town like they've never seen before.
Amen.
This area. Let me tell you, I just feel it. God's in it. People will travel from all areas of this area to come here. because of the power and the presence of God. Not that we're anything special, but we know God. And we can humble ourselves before Him. And the power of Almighty God will step in. And they will feel it. And they will sense it. And they will know it. And let me tell you, the Spirit of God can go out there and draw people more than any food can draw people. That's the power of Almighty God. Sometimes we don't realize how powerful our prayers are. But let me tell you, we need to know that as you pray and as you seek God, those prayers are penetrating the powers of darkness. And that power of darkness has to be dispelled under the power and the presence of Almighty God. Because as you pray and as you seek God, it's like Jesus praying and seeking God. Not that we're Jesus. But the word that goes forth from the word of God will penetrate the darkness and will make it dispel and go out and move. Just like those demons that came out of that guy. And where do they go? Under the commission and the power of God, Jesus said, you can go in those pigs. They didn't want to be sent back to hell. Because they knew it wasn't good. They knew it wasn't good. Excuse me. They knew it wasn't good. But the power of darkness can be dispelled under our prayers as we humble ourselves before Him. And let God be God. And all of a sudden, Joseph took his wife and said, let's go. They're taxing us. We got to go to Bethlehem. God knew where he was going to be born. God knew that he would come. And it says that he went to a place. They found a little place as they paid their taxes and did whatever they needed to do. That's only God, people. God raising that up for them to be where they needed to be. See, always remember, everything that comes against us, God allows. And he's allowing it for our good. Our good. It might be to teach us how to fight. Might be to teach us how to win. Might be teach us on how to bow before God. To keep humble before God. But it's always a lesson to the children of God. Because he what? For God so loved the world. For God so loved Joseph. For God so loved, say your name.
Cheryl.
Okay, all I heard was Cheryl. That's good. I'm glad. Okay, can you be a little less and let me hear everybody? No. That's funny, y'all. For God so loved. Oh, yeah, good. Good job, Cheryl. Good job. Amen. For God so loved us that he gave. Amen. And he got to Bethlehem. And I'm not reading scripture because of time, okay? But you can read it in Luke and you can read it in Matthew. Joseph got Mary there just in time. They were looking for a place. And you know there was no Motel 6. No Hilton. No Holiday Inn. Zero. Knocking on the door saying, my wife is... This is the Son of God. You know what I'm saying? This is not like, let's say us. You know, I mean, we were born hospitals, maybe some in homes. I don't know, you know. But, you know, in a sterile place, in a good place where we could be taken care of. This is the Son of God. To me, he would have been born up in a palace, huh? In Egypt, in the palace. The finest of the finest. In Trump Towers, you know, something like that. Born in the best hospital. But they found, they said, this little cave type thing where it smelled horrible. Mules, sheep, goats, hay. Little dirty hay. Ugh. Poop all over. All kinds of stuff. Yeah. And all, you know, he gets in there and he brings Mary and he said, this is all I can help. This is all I got. But that place had been blessed by God. Sometimes people look at the outward of a certain building or thing and they think, well, God can't be there. Or no, 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 no. Never look at that. Never look at that. Look at the heart of a man or a woman. You never know. Could be the Son of God in there. And all of a sudden, she has the King of Kings born. Now, we know December 25th is not the date that he was born. There's no way possible because of the taxation and the feast and everything. It could not be possible. But that's okay. We can celebrate it, though. As the world stops to realize that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Emmanuel, the God that's going to be raised from the dead, was born upon the earth. And all of a sudden, it amazes me that after Jesus was born, it wasn't kings and queens and all this from around the world that came to recognize the King was born. But it says the angel, talking about Jesus, I mean the angel, went and heralded out to the shepherds. The shepherds were the least among people besides maybe the tax collectors. I mean, the people hated, that's like almost our IRS, you know what I'm saying? They hated the tax collectors because they were so devious and not honest. But he went to the shepherds and he told the shepherds, the angel, the Savior has been born. These shepherds that had not the best of clothes on, because most of them were very poor. They took care of the sheep. They didn't smell that good because they had been working basically all day in the heat. They stunk. Not good clothes on. That's the one God said, tell first. Let me tell you, with God, he looks at the heart of men and women. Man looks at the riches of man. Now, there's nothing wrong with riches. I want all of you to be millionaires. Can you imagine? If every one of you would be a millionaire, we'd have to change the name of our church to Millionaire Church. That means I would be a millionaire. My Lord, we'd all be millionaires. You know that millionaire candy, how good that is. And the shepherds, when they heard the voice of the Lord tell them, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has been born, they started to come. With their canes, they were walking slowly, coming to where the star they saw was shining forth. It wasn't the wise men first. The wise men, I know we got all that, whatever, didn't come till later, months later. That's months later. When Jesus, Mary, and Joseph needed money, and God gave them the three expensive things, gold, silver, and gold, frankincense, and myrrh, to have, to tide them over till Pharaoh died. And all of a sudden it says they started walking down and they seeing the Messiah. Oh, can you imagine the picture in their eyes? Seeing, you know, they probably were walking and they were thinking, well, we might be last. You know, we'll stand way in the back. Because nobody wants to be by us, you know. Nobody wants to be by us. We're just little old shepherds. But there was no one there except Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, the Savior of the world. And they look, as the shepherds are looking, like, there's no one else. They started to come closer and closer. And Joseph and Mary didn't say, oh, 6 feet away, where's your mask? They just told them, come. And I know they bowed themselves before him. They probably even touched him. The God made flesh for you and I. Because his destination was from the cradle to the cross. They looked at him. I don't know if they gave him stuff. They might have gave him a few sheep. I have no idea. You know, it doesn't really say. But I know they saw the Savior of the world, the first ones. So people, let me tell you, the revival that's coming, it will be in churches that no one thinks. Amen. I'm telling you. It's not going to be in the ones that man is thinking, oh, that's the one. I'm telling you, it won't be. It'll be in the churches that people are saying, oh, it can't be there. But God is looking for people that are hungry after him. And God is looking for pastors that are hungry for him. God is looking for pastors that will take time with him and people that will take time with him. Nothing wrong with having fun times, but there's time that needs to be spent with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. And here we see our Savior was born. That's over 2,000 years ago that the Savior of the world was born. That's why we celebrate Christmas.